Text for our sermon this evening, our gospel reading from John chapter 9, especially these words right at the very end of our text. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said he came that the blind would see, that those who see would not see. Sounds rather paradoxical, but we see with this miracle exactly what Jesus is talking about. It's wonderful the way the miracle happened, isn't it? John spends an entire chapter dealing with this one miracle. This particular guy who's been blind from birth, he's never seen anything. He's just sitting there, standing there, an easy target for ridicule. It seems exactly like what the disciples were doing. Who sinned? This guy or his parents? Of course, they didn't want to know who. They'd rather know what. What did this guy do that was so horrible that got him cursed in this way that he's never been able to see? But Jesus doesn't tell them what. He tells them instead that this guy was blind so they would see the glory of God. The miracle itself is wonderful as well, isn't it? Jesus takes some dirt and spits on it and then makes mud and plasters the guy's eyes. Who'd ever think to do that? That dirty mud would cleanse that man's eyes? I don't think any doctor would ever think to do that. But Jesus does, to show us who he is. It might be one thing if Jesus told the man, "Hey, you'll see," and he was able to see. It's quite another when Jesus takes dirt and spits and plasters the guy's eyes. This is one of the best miracles because it shows us that Jesus uses both of his natures, divine and human, together to effect this miracle. Jesus is working through something so human and so common as spit and dirt. And yet there is divine power there that man would be able to see again. Of course, if you put yourself in the blind man's shoes, he can't see who's doing this. He's got no idea who this Jesus guy is. And he goes to the pool of Siloam and washes and he sees. And Jesus is gone. And so when he's questioned by the Pharisees, because it's the Sabbath day and you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day, who healed you? Some guy named Jesus. Got no clue what he looks like or who he is or anything else. He's got to be some kind of prophet, some kind of mighty man of God. Who else could do this? It's wonderful that Jesus finds the blind man again, the man who could see now. Do you believe? Tell me who he is, and I'll believe in him. It's Jesus. It's a great line, isn't it, that John has? That man falls down and worships Jesus. It's wonderful. He'd been impacted by the work of God. He recognized and realized it. He knew he was not healed by his own strength or power or effort. He knew that this was an act of God. Only God could have healed him. And so he worships the one who healed him, Jesus. Jesus came that those who did not see would see. That blind man, he saw, not just physically with his eyes, but he saw in faith who the Christ, who his Savior was. It's Jesus, and he worships the right guy. And all of those who could see, all of the Pharisees and all of those who were questioning this guy, They were presented with great evidence. There's a man born blind. Some guy comes along and plasters his eyes with mud. Now he can see. How? They reject Jesus. They condemn him for working on the Sabbath day. They don't see. All they can see is their pride. There is no way this guy could be from God, even though he's doing miracles like this. Those who see, don't see. It's the same today, isn't it? This is almost exactly the same as what we believers encounter in our lives. We were in darkness, as Paul says in our epistle reading from Ephesians 5. We were in darkness until the light dawned on us. Until Jesus took us from the devil's kingdom and placed us into his kingdom by his mighty power. His action did that for you and for me. Jesus took water, combined it with his word through baptism. It's amazing. Who else could do that? Who else could take something so common as water and combine it with word and make it a blessed, life-giving washing? Not just to remove dirt from the body, but to remove sin. All of our sins, all of the stain and guilt of sin, all of it is removed through our baptism into Christ. Jesus finds you. While you were still sinful, Christ died for you. And through his death, coming to you through your baptism, he affects your salvation. Who else could do it? Could you or I? No. It had to be God. Only God can forgive sins, the sins that we sin against him. We could ignore them or forget about them, but only God can forgive them. He does exactly that through our baptism. We know who's done it. We're told over and over again in Scripture, by our sponsors, by our brothers and sisters in Christ. They remind us, Scripture reminds us, that Jesus is the one who removed our sin. It's wonderful, isn't it? That Jesus comes to us, true God and true man. Not just through water, but through his word. A word is a very human thing, isn't it? It takes breath and lungs and a physical body to be able to speak. And Jesus speaks you clean of all of your sins. Jesus comes to you, true God and true man, in with and under simple bread and wine. It's Jesus' very body and blood for you to eat, drink, and receive forgiveness, that you would not doubt, but know for certain that your eyes of faith have been opened to see exactly who is doing all of this for you. There's one more point in this parable that's definitely worth mentioning. Through the whole thing, the dialogue with the Pharisees, this blind man always, always confesses who healed him. Even though he's at risk of being thrown out of the synagogue, people ostracizing him, he won't stop talking about it. Whatever they ask him, it was Jesus. This Jesus guy. I'll tell you again what he did. Isn't that us as well? How can we stop talking about what Jesus did for us? We see. We see. And we see others who don't. We're as blind as these Pharisees who should see. It's our privilege and our pleasure to speak to them about Jesus and to live our lives as Christians, that they would see and acknowledge what our God has done for us, what our God has done for them too. This blind man with his words, invites all to listen and follow Jesus as well, that they also would see and believe. That's the life of the Christian, that everyone would see us, how we live differently than this world, as an invitation that they would believe as well. Yes, our eyes are open. We see very clearly all that Jesus has done for us. And so we worship him. We receive his gifts, and we live our lives as he would have us live them. In his name, amen.